The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Tuesday, April the 2nd. We want to welcome you to the broadcast tonight. It is a very dangerous time right now. If you live in certain portions of the United States, some of the southern states, and even in the Midwest, going up into the north and northeast, there's a dangerous storm system moving in. I know where I used to live up in the Kentucky, Indiana region, I believe there's like a Torcon 7 that's been given in that area alone. And I know many of you guys that are probably watching and listening to us tonight, you guys are going to be under the gun. So we're going to keep you in prayer. In fact, at the end of this program, I want to lead us into a little bit of a prayer for protection over many of you guys, and including myself and others that may be in the path of this storm. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to, first of all, before we get started, please hit the like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help others see the program as well. And of course, if you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to swing by your Apple Store, your Play Store, your Google Play Store, whatever it looks like for you. Get the app today. Hit yes to push notifications. This is going to get you squared away, and it's going to keep you up to date with everything that we're doing. Again, do not rely on social media outlets, guys, to get our content, because we don't put everything. We only put about 25% of things that we publish out on social media because of all the censorship, shadow banning, and all that stuff. They'll just take it down. So if you want to get all of our content, all the podcasts, all the prophecy viewpoints, all of the headlines, again, you've got to get the app today. Get it at your Play Store, again, on Apple and Android, and it's absolutely free. Once you download it, hit the yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and ready to go. So what are we going to talk about today? While everybody is focused on the solar eclipse and their And we've all talked about this, including myself, how this eclipse looks to be a harbinger or a warning of calamities, disasters, possible war, and all kinds of things, a collaboration of things that could be on the horizon for America, the West, I would say the Gentile nations of the world. Because again, we've talked about, you know, I don't want to get into the whole blood moon and solar eclipse thing. We've kind of rode that horse to it can't ride anymore. So the point I'm making is everybody's looking for judgment to come. But what if I came by today and told you that America is already seeing selective judgments, and we may not even recognize this because we have our eyes so focused on the man-made constructed systems, devices, different things that could take our distraction away, which we want to put a name, or we want to put a title, or we want to put a label, or we want to put a blame on something or something, and we get real carnal about it, and we forget, especially if we don't know the Bible. Now, for most of you guys, I don't think this is applicable to the predominant audience that's listening and watching today. But for the outsiders, maybe your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, you've got family members that are not biblically literate. They are, the scripture says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit because they seem to be foolish to him. So when somebody like myself gets up and we begin to equate things that are happening with the scriptures, again, if someone does not have a foundation in the Word, they don't have a relationship with God, and they don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, then these things may seem to be sensationalism, fear-mongering, hyperbole, and the list goes on. So again, what if I told you that we as America are not looking to judgment to come, but are already in judgment? Now, if that's the case, what does that testify to what's coming? I believe it's going to be a severity of what we're already seeing. For example, And Hosea chapter 4, the prophet tells us in the scriptures, this is, and for you guys who are listening by Apple or Spotify, we welcome you as always. We got a massive, I was not aware of the audience that we had on podcast, but it's a huge audience. And we love you guys and we appreciate you as well. We're in Hosea 4. I understand that you guys can't see the visual of this if you're not watching this. So I want to always make sure that we give you these scriptures. Hosea 4 verses 2 through 3, the prophet tells us that as a result of sins in the earth, howbeit swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, the breaking of all restraint, morality is being just completely thrown to the wind, bloodshed upon bloodshed. That's talking about through the shedding of innocent blood, through taking the child, an unborn child from the womb. It's talking about the bloodshed of martyrs and those who are giving their lives, missionaries, missionary work, etc. As a result of this, the land itself will mourn. Romans 8, the Apostle Paul even talks about this, and he says the whole earth will travail and groan in birth pains. You go to the book of Revelation, and it talks about the blood of the martyrs that will cry out. You go to the book of Genesis, Abel, his blood is crying out from the ground because he was slain by Cain. And it says that his blood's plural tense is crying out from the ground. And the reason why it's plural tense there in the Hebrew tongue is because it wasn't just the blood of Abel that was shed. It was all those that would come from his loins. All the generations that would come from the loins of Abel, all of those was crying out and testifying of what was done to heaven. And the prophet says here in Hosea that the land itself will mourn and individuals who dwell in it will begin to waste away. This is very important and it's imperative that you really pay attention to what I'm saying here. It says with everyone who dwells in it will waste away with the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken. Again, I want to highlight that for you. That is in Hosea chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Okay. Then I want to take you to another scripture. We see here this is in the book of Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to be touching on verse 18, 19, 21, and 22. The word of the Lord tells us that a nation that turns from God, God will begin to, he will chastise that nation. He will begin to allow things to happen in the intent to try to provoke that nation to turn and to repent and come back to him, so that they can be blessed, they can flourish, they can prosper. And that's in the beginning of Leviticus 26. God says, if you'll hearken to my voice, heed my word, and do my commandments, and obey my statutes, then all these blessings shall come upon you. And he talks about there's a whole list of blessings. We're not going to go over this because of for sake of time. But then you get to the latter part of it. I call it the two coins, or the two-headed coin here, the two-sided coin, rather. Let me get that straight. The two-sided coin, you got a head, you got a tails. One side is head, the other side is tails. On the first side of the coin is the blessing, and that's what everybody wants to talk about. The favorite Christian television preacher on television will always highlight the blessing of the Lord. He'll make you the head and not the tail, and you'll be above and not beneath. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the country. Everything you lay your hands to do, it's going to prosper. You'll have an open heaven. You'll flourish. You'll thrive. You'll do all this stuff. But he never touches on the other side of the coin, which according to the book of Leviticus chapter 26, he says, if you do not obey me and a nation does not observe the commandments of the Lord and they despise the statutes of the Lord, they abhor the judgments and they break the commandments of the Lord, they turn to idolatry, they begin committing abominations, committing iniquity and trespasses and transgressions, the land will begin to mourn and God will remove his favor from that nation. And I want to pull this up, Leviticus 26. It says here, as a result of this, God himself will punish, again, if, look at this in verse 18, Leviticus 26, 18, after all this, now, what? After all what? He talks about, if you don't obey me and do these things, he says, I'll appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever shall grip your eyes and cause sorrow to your heart. I'll cause your enemies to rise above you. They'll begin to eat your crops. They'll begin to devour your harvest. I'll set my face against you. This is the Lord saying this. And you'll be defeated by your enemies, and those you hate will reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. Now watch this. And after all of this, if you still don't obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and it will result in your pride and your power being broken. Now, guys, what is terrifying about this is the fact that it, let's just say for conversation's sake, that we are in currently seeing the selective judgments of God because the West has turned its back on God. Not completely. I know many of you guys are good people. You're God-fearing people. So I'm not saying every single individual under the sound of my voice has turned from God, but I'm talking about as a whole, as a majority of the nation. Look, it's just the fact, guys, the majority of the nation does not even have a relationship with God. They don't know God. They're not serving God. And they're definitely not keeping the word of the Lord and trying to obey his commandments. Okay, so, and we're talking about nations, right? Matthew 25 tells us, and the latter part of it, and we touched on this yesterday, that there will come a time in the future that the nations of the earth will be judged by God himself, and he will separate as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat, and as a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. There will be a separation. There will be a judgment set upon those nations that abhor God. Now, will America be involved? It is, I would venture to say, very probable that it will. And here's why I say that. You go to read Leviticus 26. He said, one of the things I will do when you start turning from God, I will appoint terror, where we get the root terrorism from. Well, guys, that happened, no doubt, on 9/11. On 9/11, God permitted our enemies, those who hate us, to penetrate our defenses. They came, there was destruction, devastation, and the loss of many lives. Now, you would think America would wake up from this and there would be a national cry of fasting and repentance and turning back to God. But no, what happened instead, we called for a day, or we called for a time of prayer, but we became patriotic instead. And that didn't even last, but maybe what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And then that began to wear off. And now here we are. And that was in 2001. And now here we are 23 years later. And most people's already forgotten that. And we're now, I would venture to say that we're seven times more wicked than we were in 2001. So watch this. In Leviticus 26, God says, if after all of this, if you don't wake up as a nation, when I allow things to come to try to shake you and wake you up, then here's what's going to happen. Leviticus 26, verse 18. God says, I will punish you seven times more for your sins, resulting in the pride of your power being broken. Then it goes on and he talks about in verse 21, this is very imperative again, and this plays right into what we're talking about today. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues. Somebody say plagues, according to your sins. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your livestock and make you few in number. Somebody say livestock. So here, this is Leviticus 26. Then you go to Deuteronomy 28. Same thing. Not going to go through all this. Verse 18, same warnings of Deuteronomy 28. God says, "You, the fruit of your body shall be cursed, and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks." So when you put all this together, guys, it appears here Again, you don't have to be a theologian or a Bible scholar to be able to interpret this. Put this together and you see that as a result of a nation that turns from God, the land itself begins to mourn, impacting, watch this, the animals of the land, the livestock, the fish, the beast of the field, the birds of the air. And watch this, many of those, especially the beast of the field and the fish of the sea, this is the livelihood and the food supply of Americans and even outside of America. So I don't want to just be so narrow-sighted that I constantly talk about America. But again, remember what I said, this pertains to all nations that turn from God. So it's not just America. But again, I always addressed America because I'm not called to another nation. I'm called here to be a voice of warning to America, to be a watchman for America, to the West, and to all those that, again, if the shoe fits, I'm going to use a Southern slang here. If the shoe fits, honey, then wear it. Okay. So again, notice the impact of the sins of the land, the sins of the people impacting the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, right? I want to make sure you know. And then, okay, then we go over here to Matthew chapter 24, when the disciples said, what will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? Jesus says in verse 6, you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must have come to pass, but the end is not yet. Watch this. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Today, I want to talk about pestilences and plagues, guys. Pestilences and plagues. Now, what's interesting, when you look up these words, in your natural mind, you want to reverse them. Because you think, when you hear a pestilence, the first, at least for me, when I think of pestilence, I think of gnats, birds, insects, grasshoppers, locusts, cicadas, whatever. That's what I think of. But in the Greek understanding of this, plagues are actually diseases that result in the loss of many lives. Again, let me say that again. Plagues, pestilences is a disease that results in the death of many lives. But plagues, on the other hand, is a disease that impacts humans and mammals. Okay, so you've got, this word plagues and pestilences really kind of interchange with one another. So when you see the word pestilences and then you talk about plagues, you can really just kind of interchange them. So when you think about the plagues of Egypt, remember that? The plagues of the frogs, and then you had the locusts, and you had the lice. You had these plagues that came and struck again the Egyptians in the time of Moses and the exodus of the children of Israel coming out from under Pharaoh. That's the mindset that we get here. So again, but you can also equate that word with things, come on, like the bubonic plague, the Asian flu, these diseases and these plagues and these pandemics in times past has taken the lives of multitudes around the world. So we see that Jesus warns that as we get closer to the end of the age and the coming of the Lord, that pestilences, aka plagues, are going to increase in intensity. So I want to show you a couple of things that, again, I think is newsworthy to talk about that fits right into this. Now, we reported on this the other day, but I'm going to take you back and refresh your memory, then take you forward. Remember this story, guys, that there was a dairy cattle in Texas and in Kansas. Both of these dairy cattle in both Texas and Kansas tested positive for bird flu, which was this was the first time ever in the history of the United States that the bird flu was found in livestock. I want you to keep this in mind.
For the first time, dairy cows in America testing positive for the bird flu. The Department of Agriculture confirms herds in Texas, Kansas, also Michigan.
So now even now it's spread to Michigan. So now we got Texas, Kansas, and Michigan where bird flu is being detected in livestock.
Have the virus. There are also presumptive positive tests in herds in New Mexico, also Idaho.
Wow.
Right now, there's no risk to humans unless you work directly with an infected animal.
Okay, now we've got an update on that, so keep that in mind. This is a little bit old because we've got an update pertaining to that. Okay, so that's not even up to date, and we'll get to that in just a second.
Haynes has more for us this morning. Stephanie, I keep thinking about all the people buying dairy this week for their breakfast or March Madness watch parties. What does this mean for humans, consumers?
Yeah, well, for consumers, in terms of your health, the risk is really low, and I'll get to that in a second. But the USDA says that this illness originates from migratory birds, and right now they are actually looking into whether it can spread from cattle to cattle, specifically in Michigan, instead of just coming into contact with those migratory birds. And we just learned that also a domestic goat in Minnesota has also tested positive for this illness.
So again, cattle and goats that we know of, three areas positive. And then there's other locations in the West that are it's developing. They're looking into it, researching that there's possibilities of infections there as well.
That's the first time that's ever been in a domestic livestock, according to North Dakota State University. This illness is called highly pathogenic avian influenza. It's been found in wild birds such as pigeons, blackbirds, grackle. The illness has historically been discovered in poultry flocks, some mammals, and even goats, as I said before, according to the USDA. And they were likely infected, Marky, by consuming or coming into contact with these infected birds. And while the flu is fatal among certain poultry flocks, USDA says certain cattle that have been quarantined, you know, kept away from others and have recovered is a good sign. So they are not dying from this quite yet. In the meantime, officials are working with local ranchers, farmers, veterinarians to identify and remove the sick cows from the areas where they are. For humans, USDA says there's no concern about the safety of our milk supply because products are pasteurized before they reach the commercial market space. And
okay, stop. A couple things here. One, again, notice it's something else that's impacting the food supply. It's impacting meat consumption. And number three, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know how much trust you have in the FDA and all of these systems that are put in place to quote unquote filter out all this stuff and go through these things. Because last time I checked, every single time, it's almost like every week that we read the news, we see some kind of a salmonella outbreak. We see this kind of outbreak in this and eggs and some kind of a produce and this. So, you know, again, I don't have a lot of confidence in the defenses that we have set up that is supposed to protect us from these diseases getting into our food supply. But again, don't miss it though. I know we can get very cynical and point to an individual, an organization, an entity, or a certain groups, if you would. But I'm trying to keep this, again, I'm trying to balance us to get back into the Bible as much as possible. And I'm going to explain all this in just a moment. But this is very interesting to me, to say the least.
Of course, the FDA has long said that humans should not consume raw milk because of all the potential health hazards with it.
This is not a food safety issue in the slightest. Those cows usually are not put into the bulk tank for sale, into the food supply. That milk is diverted.
Guys, again, you can do what you want to do. I'm just saying, USDA, FDA, go check out their track records. If you listen, if whatever makes you sleep better at night, you got to do what you got to do. But I'm just saying,
and if it does end up into the, you know, the bulk tank, the food supply milk, all the milk in grocery stores is pasteurized.
All right. And then we go from that was that update. Now I want to bring you to the latest. The first human case of avian flu. Guess where it was found? In Texas. So this is that same area where these cattle, again, where bird flu is showing up in Texas. This is just Texas. We don't know about Kansas. We don't know about Idaho. We don't know about Michigan. But I'm talking about Texas. Right? I got any Texans in the chat room or listening by Apple or by Spotify? This is happening in your area, in your state. I'm going to read. This is from Politico. First human case of avian flu in Texas raises alarm. Raises alarm. But wait a minute. I thought they said this was nothing to be concerned about. We didn't need to be worried about this. A Texas dairy worker has tested positive for the avian flu, marking the first identified human case of an illness in the U.S. that has sickened cattle across several states over the past few weeks. So you have a first for this, you have a first for that. The infection is only the second human case of H5N1 ever recorded in the United States of America. And this is worrying. Look at this. I'm going to read it to you. This is not my words. Public health experts are worried, who for decades have cautioned that avian flu could pose a serious threat. Now, does that sound familiar to anyone? Have they not been warning us that the next disease X is not a matter of if, but when it emerges, when it comes on the scene? And here we are in Texas. The second ever case of avian flu has now emerged in Texas from cattle. Officials went on further and said that there is no evidence that it's being spread among humans. The illness is mild and the worker is expected to recover. I'm going to read this and we'll watch a video together. This new human case follows recent cow infections in Texas, Idaho, Michigan, and New Mexico. That's what we just talked about, that have raised alarm among public health experts who worry that the virus spread to mammals could make it easier for the virus to infect humans.
Officials who say there is no cause for alarm to the general public after speaking with the state health department, the CDC, and UT Health about what's true and false. Here's what we know. The person had been in contact with a cow, even though diagnosed with the bird flu. The patient then went to the doctor with pink eye late last week, where they tested positive for the flu. Texas Health and Human Services says pink eye or eye irritation is not a common symptom of the flu. The person is doing well after getting treated with Tamiflu. Texas's health department said the person got sick from direct exposure to cattle believed to be infected with the bird flu. It is true. This is the first time U.S. dairy cows have tested positive for the bird flu. The state health department and the USDA says there is no concern for the pasteurized milk supply, but people should be careful using raw or unpasteurized milk or products like cheese. And here is
again, whatever makes you sleep better at night, folks.
What we found that is false. This strain of bird flu is not new. Bird flu, also known as avian flu, has been around since the late 90s. And although the H5N1 virus is highly contagious, the CDC says you have to have close or prolonged exposure to infected animals or livestock to get sick. So, no, a quick trip to a farm will not get you sick. But health officials tell the KHRU 11 Verified team they do not know if the avian flu is worse than regular strains of the flu because they are still investigating the Texas case.
So there you have it, guys. They're still investigating this case. They don't even fully know the whole ramifications of this. And is it only in Texas? Because after all, remember, these cattle that were infected with bird flu was not just confined to Texas. It was Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, we know of, and there's other states now that they're still investigating. So what's going to happen? Is this something that's going to go nationwide? Is there going to be more cases popping up of human cases of avian flu? And is it, quote unquote, and I'm going back to what she said, is this going to be something that's worse than a regular flu? Then we got this. Have you guys seen this story out of Florida? Do I have any Floridians in the chat group? If so, you probably know about this. Look at this headline. Scientists are working to discover why fish in Florida are spinning themselves to death. What?
Check out this video of a rare fish. quite literally out of the water in the Florida Keys. And this alarming wildlife officials is just one part in a string of mysterious behavior and deaths involving...
A string of mysterious behaviors and deaths that are baffling wildlife experts.
Sawfish. It's an endangered species known for its long spiked snout. Xavier Walton is in Florida this morning. Good morning, Xavier. You had the chance to speak with scientists investigating this mystery. They seem a bit confused. Tell us more.
Hannah, good morning. You know what? They are extremely confused at the same time, extremely concerned because they don't know what's causing this major problem.
Gee, could it be Hosea 4? Could it be the land mourning from the sins, abomination, and wickedness in the land? I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in the hat.
It's crazy, man.
For months, scientists have been trying to solve a mystery in the Florida Keys.
He's big.
Dr. Dean Grubbs, a deepwater researcher, has been studying small-toothed sawfish for more than 15 years.
And so it's disheartening for us to see it, obviously.
You see these videos and you see, you know, these pictures of either the sawfish in distress or just flat out dead. As somebody who is passionate about them, how does that make you feel, man?
It's heart-wrenching in some ways because it's distressing for us if we see just one animal that is killed, you know, by a person or something.
According to Florida's Wildlife Commission, there have been more than 50 sightings of sick or dead sawfish in the Lower Keys since November. The FWC is currently testing the animals and collecting samples to find the cause.
It was almost like seeing a unicorn or a Sasquatch in real life.
That initial excitement is short-lived.
Sad to see that, you know, they're dying too. It's not that you can just see them swimming around like dolphins and they swim away and you're like, wow, that was really cool. It's like, man, this poor thing's dying. You know, you can tell something wasn't right.
Sawfish are critically endangered species and rarely seen, if at all, in the Florida Keys. That's why the last 3 months have been so puzzling for researchers trying to solve the deadly problem.
I am waiting as much as everybody else to figure out what it is. None of that is normal.
None of that is normal. Again, Hosea 4. And everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea shall be taken away.
They should not be swimming in a circle. They should not be so shallow that their rostrum is out of the water.
And you know what this reminds me of? Notice they said they were swimming in circles. Y'all remember, what was it, last year, I think it was, when all those animals around the world, there was those reports of all the animals around the world that were walking in a circle formation. There was sheep that was caught on video walking in a circle formation. There was turkeys. There was other wildlife. There was animals. I think there was deers. There was all kinds of these animals that all around the world, they were circling. They were walking in circles and there was speculations of what it could be this and it could be that. And they really didn't come up with a solid, definitive answer for what it was. That's what this reminds me of.
All of that is abnormal behavior.
And, Hannah, you know what? It's not just sawfish. It's groupers, tarpon, other fish displaying bizarre behavior. So, you know what? Just extremely alarming there along the Florida Keys.
Wow, guys. Listen to the verbiage they're using. Unusual. Never seen before. Not normal, alarming, alarm bells, and all these terms, guys, is why I'm saying this is what gets my attention as a watchman. When they can't figure out, you know, when you have these quote unquote wildlife experts, biologists, marine biologists, scientists, and they're all coming together and they're scratching their heads and they're like, we can't figure this out. We don't know what this is. We can't come up with a cause for this. This should, and I'm going to use their term, this should sound an alarm for us to pay attention to these things. The CDC just came out and warned of an increase in bacterial illnesses that could lead to meningitis and possible death. Let's see what this is all about.
We have a warning tonight from the Centers for Disease Control about a strain of bacterial meningitis that's infecting people between the ages of 30 and 60. Now, we usually see these cases in younger people who can be vaccinated. Senior health correspondent Monica Robbins joins us to explain what we need to know to protect ourselves. And when I read this, I mean, it's pretty alarming.
Yeah, it can be. The CDC issued the health advisory alert to alert health providers, warning of the increase in a type of bacterial meningitis known as Neisseria meningitidis, serogroup Y. This year, 143 cases have been reported in Virginia and mostly affecting African Americans between the ages of 30 and 60, which is very unusual. Also, the symptoms of...
Again, very unusual, bizarre. Why is this happening? Pay attention to what these people are saying, folks.
Differently, which may be causing cases to be missed. Meningitis typically appears like flu-like symptoms with fever, headache, and stiff neck. These cases appear to have blood infections and infected joints.
When people present with meningitis, which is a very serious condition, and the array of symptoms that they have often brings this infection to mind faster, and antibiotics are started in a much more rapid fashion. And that is critical in terms of impacting on the high death rates that have been reported. In these cases so far, 1 in 6 individuals have died, and that's extraordinarily high, even for this serious infection.
There is some good news. This infection is treatable, but antibiotics have to be given early, and meningitis is known to get worse within hours. Also, the meningitis vaccine available does cover the group Y strain. But as of now, only young people get those shots. If more cases develop, however, that could change. And
Oh, and there it is. We knew that was coming. You knew that was coming, right? We knew that this was going to open a door for them to create a new shot for the older people. So I'm not surprised by that. But again, I don't want to be guilty of the exact same thing that I told you guys to try to avoid and trying to be cynical and point to an organization or point to a person or point to this and that. Again, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. We'll move forward here because I want to make this point is when we read about, remember, Jesus said there'll be pestilences in the last days. And we read in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, Hosea 4, it talks about in Romans 8, those are just a handful of examples, that the land itself will mourn and it will affect the animal life, which many of those animals can produce these pestilences, okay? These plagues that impact humans. So we can sit around and try to get a clipboard and a checklist and say, well, the pestilence is going to have to come from this way, or it's going to have to come from this form, or it's going to have to come from this source. Nobody can be dogmatic to determine it's got to come from this person, this source, this organization, this place, or this whatever. All we know is, guys, that there will be plagues and there will be pestilences, whether they happen organically or whether they're created in a laboratory or by some sinister organization. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But I do want to remind you that the CDC, the World Health Organization, the WEF, all the United Nations, these government powers already have a contingency plan. Come on, if you didn't sleep good, you'll sleep better now knowing that you're safe with the contingency plans that are already laid out. I want to show you what that is. We're going to take a little bit of a trip to the past. I want to show you a year ago where this was first discussed. Let's check this out for a second.
The World Health Organization is moving forward to revise international health regulations in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some member states are expressing concern over provisions of the zero draft WHO convention agreement.
What? The zero draft World Health Organization convention agreement. Well, what's this about?
Critics say the proposed agreement would give the WHO authority over health care, trade, and other aspects of our lives.
Whoa, what?
Well, joining us to explain more is Reggie Littlejohn. Ms. Littlejohn is president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers and co-chair of the Stop Vaccine Passport Task Force. Hi, Reggie. Before we discuss how this ties into U.S. law, what would approval of this zero draft agreement mean for people worldwide?
Well, I believe that it will mean the establishment of a worldwide totalitarian biotech state. So,
whoa, now that's a little conspiracy theory there, right? Should we get out our tinfoil hats, or should we listen on and see what she has to say? Let's listen on.
These instruments, and by the way, you correctly characterized the zero draft as an agreement. That's what they're calling it. They don't want to call it a treaty because they are deliberately trying to subvert the United States and the other countries' treaty processes. So if it's an agreement, all it takes is a signature. It does not take going through our Senate. So people say, oh, don't worry about it. It will never pass our Senate. Well, they are deliberately subverting our Senate process.
That's disturbing, to say the least, guys. That's disturbing. That in itself is sinister, corrupt, very dark. Let's listen on.
Signatories must recognize, quote, the central role of the WHO as a directing and coordinating authority on international health work. What do you believe that means?
Well, it means that the WHO is able to call the shots if there's any health emergency or potential health emergency.
Whoa. Did you hear what that woman said? If there is a quote unquote health emergency or potential health emergency, then the World Health Organization has been given this authority to call the shots. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with that?
Anywhere in the world, and the language that says that they have to have the permission of the country is stricken so that they can do it without the permission of the country. And
That's very disturbing, friend, very disturbing.
It's not only about human health. They have something called One Health, which means that they can do it on behalf of human health, animal health, plant health, the environment. They can use...
Whoa, no. We got to back up and read that. Listen to that. It's called One Health. Multisectoral and transdisciplinary action should recognize the interconnection between people, animals, plants, and their shared environment for which a coherent, integrated... And it goes on. That's what she's talking about here.
Plant health, the environment. They can use any reason that they want to be able to come in and basically run the show in terms of addressing that health issue.
And I've read the zero draft proposal. It gives the WHO authority over the global supply chain.
Why? Why? Is that not weird? So they have the control over all these sectors and the global supply chain?
Trade, commerce, through establishment of the WHO Global Pandemic Supply Chain and Logistics Network. WHO Director General Tedros would lead that effort early on in the pandemic. You remember Tedros praised President Xi Jinping for China's efforts to control the outbreak. So your thoughts on him?
That should be a massive red flag. That the fact that that guy praised that dude, this is the guy that called for the citizens of China to be welded shut. Remember that during the wah-wah outbreak? These citizens were forced into their homes, and some of these people, their doors were welded shut by the Chinese government to prevent them from coming out of their doors, among all kinds of other things that was done. And the UN, the head cheese, if you would, of the UN is praising this dude.
And his potential control of the supply chain.
Well, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus is very closely aligned with the Chinese Communist Party, and the Chinese Communist Party has absolutely outsized influence at the World Health Organization, which is why they were able to get away with all the lies that they did, which were just amplified by Dr. Tedros. So this is not a good alliance at all. And in terms of the supply chains, they are also wanting to take control over the intellectual property. Like if somebody in the United States or another country develops a great vaccine, they're going to be forced to share that information, which I think is bad for the production of pharmaceuticals. I think that the intellectual property rights are...
Well, most of our pharmaceuticals already come from China. That's a fact, guys.
Rights are very important.
Yes, I noticed that in the draft agreement. And here in the U.S., let's move forward. How is the Biden administration planning to use the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, to pre-approve whatever is approved by the WHO?
This is something that just came to my attention on Friday from an international law expert, that this National Defense Authorization Act, which was rammed through at the very end of the last Congress, contains within it something called the International Pandemic Preparedness Act. And I think most people...
Now, we talked about this. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I did a segment with Bishop Larry Ragland where we talked about this and what that consisted of. That's what she's talking about here. And this, again, the WEF was all on board with this.
People in Congress don't even know about this. But that act contains a loophole in it, which he argues, and I agree, makes it that whatever the World Health Organization passes is automatically made law in the United States, again, subverting our Senate.
Wow.
So this needs to be opposed. And in fact, I think that the entire World Health Organization attempt to take over the world, really, through vaccine passports, that's another thing that they want to do. The World Health Organization, if these things are passed, will have the ability to mandate in the United States how we handle a pandemic, including forced quarantines, forced mask mandates, forced vaccine mandates. Why should we allow Dr. Tedros, who failed so miserably in handling the Wuhan virus, order us around about how we handle our own health?
It's a good question.
I think that we should actually withdraw from the WHO, and we are calling for there's a bill that is sponsored by Representative Biggs, and there is also a debate right now about raising the debt ceiling. I think that anyone who believes in freedom in the U.S. Congress should condition raising the debt ceiling on U.S. withdrawal from the World Health Organization.
Well, there you have it, guys. That gives you a broader picture of this. The contingency plan is already in place for disease X and for the next pandemic, already in place. Everything's already in place. All right, then I want to leave you with one last thing here. Then I thought this was bizarre because here we are in America. We don't experience plagues of locusts. Like in the Middle East, remember that we had Saudi Arabia dealt with that. China even saw plagues of locusts. But consequently, for the first time in over 221 years, or since the times of our founding fathers, we are about to see, according to this report, trillions, with a T, of cicadas swarm portions of the United States.
A rare double dose of the bug that can sing as loud as jet engines is about to hit the South and then move north to the Midwest.
Yeah, get ready. All thanks to a combo of two separate types of cicadas that haven't bred at the same time since 1803.
A rare occurrence hasn't happened since 1803.
Periodical cicadas, the kind that emerge every 13 to 17 years, should start showing up in just a few weeks. But this time, there could be more than we can handle.
Could be more than we can handle. So does anybody think that's bizarre? One of the plagues that was sent to Egypt was the plague of locusts that devoured their crops. Now, these cicadas are not, to my knowledge, are not a dangerous to any of our crops per se, but I don't know if you look, I'm in the South And when we've had regular cicada seasons where these things emerge, it can be deafening. If you live anywhere near the woods, these things can get extremely loud, and that's on a normal season. I can't imagine how loud this is going to be when trillions of these things emerge. So again, this is what we call pestilences and plagues. So guys, again, I believe everything I've shared with you, again, it doesn't matter the source, who's behind it, what's behind all this. It is biblical. These are signs of the times in which we are in. And I believe, based on the scriptures, based on the discerning of the times and seasons in which we're in, and everything, the culmination of all things that we're seeing come together and climaxing, I believe this is only going to intensify and it's only going to get worse. So buckle up. According to Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, it's time to look up and lift up your heads. Come on, somebody, finish it for me, for your redemption is drawing near. Again, it is important, it is imperative that we stay in prayer. We prayed up under the blood of Jesus and under the shadow of the Almighty. Because my goodness, guys, we don't know what we're going to encounter when we step out of the four walls of our homes. Plagues, pestilences, bacterias, viruses, all kinds of things that are out there. And it's, again, it's for me and my house, I want to be under the blood of Jesus. So here's what we're going to pray right now, because I want to go back to the beginning of this. I understand at the time that this is airing, many of you guys are already going to be in the middle of, or you're going to be on the threshold of, very extreme, dangerous weather and a weather system producing large hail, damaging winds, and tornadic activity. So right now, if you're listening to this, I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our friends, our partners, and our family that are watching tonight. I pray that you'd put angels about their property, about their families, and about their homes. Lord, may these angels encamp around about those who fear you and deliver them out of all their troubles, according to the word of the Lord. Lord, I pray that I just profess the blood of Jesus. I confess that blood over our homes, over our lives, over our families. We declare, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would just thwart these storms. We speak to these storms. We declare to these storms that these will cease. I pray and we believe that there'll be no loss of lives in Jesus' name. Lord, may these things just blow over. May it confound meteorologists. May it confound the weather experts. Lord, we just trust. We don't trust in meteorologists. We don't trust in weather experts. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower in which the righteous run into and are safe. And we pray this and we believe this tonight, and it's in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Listen, guys, at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's going to be our main website. Again, don't forget to pick up our free app today, available in both Apple and Android stores. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. If you're watching this, under the description of this video, you can find the link where it says download our free app, get our link. Again, please don't forget to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, help share this, get the word out there on these platforms. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. By you supporting us and helping us, you're helping spread the news. Guys, we're not a brick and mortar church. We are a ministry that we believe is crying in the wilderness, that is sounding the alarm in the day and in the generation and the hour in which we're in, warning them to repent and turn from this perverse and wicked generation and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would love for you to partner with us. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically and through the app or through the main website, or you can give right there on your screen by making a check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will be off tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, April the 3rd. We'll be right back here Thursday night, April the 4th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.